are going to talk about the Holy Spirit again today, which I'm really excited about. Oh, perfect. Awesome. Hey, let's just pray for a second. Lord, I thank you for all the things that we're praying about today, Lord, especially those people, Lord, Roman people, and really just they're on our hearts today. But I pray for all the other needs that we have, Lord, just different friends and family that are struggling at the moment, Lord, friends that are sick, people that are ill, Lord, we just continue to pray for that friend of ours, Niall, Lord, who we don't know, but he's a brother in Christ, and we're praying against that stomach cancer in Jesus' name. Lord, we're praying again for Nikki and Aaron and Nathan's granny. Lord, just she's going to be well. Lord, we just pray and believe that and praying for Uncle John and for Donna's brother John. Lord, we're just praying for them, Lord, and all friends and family that we have. We just thank you, you're a faithful God, Lord, and even when we forget, you remember. But Lord, this morning we bring it to your attention because we know that you care and you love. We just ask you for breakthrough in every form and in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we started talking about the Holy Spirit last week, and we're going to continue to talk about the Holy Spirit this week. We have been blessed just thinking about him, just becoming more aware about him. And the verse we read last week is the verse we're going to start with this week. It says this in John chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Jesus wants to keep telling us the truth over and over again because all he does is tell the truth. "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And this verse is still going around in my mind because it's just such a huge verse. Imagine Jesus would say, "It's to your advantage that I would go," when most people today would say, "Wouldn't we love to have Jesus with us?" And Jesus is saying, "Hey, it's to your advantage that I go because there's one coming just like me, but he's just even better because he's no restriction in bodily form. He's just able to move. He's able to be there. He's able to do what you need him to do. He's able to transform you." He says the Helper will come. The Holy Spirit is going to come. And so this morning we're going to continue to look at the Holy Spirit. We saw last week that he is our called helper. His job is he is called to us. He is called to help us. Just as Jesus did for those 2-3 years, he is called to help us in his ministry. The Holy Spirit's here forever until Jesus comes back. And when Jesus comes back, we'll all go to heaven with him and we'll have an incredible time with him in eternity. But up until then, the Holy Spirit is here to transform our Christian lives. And whenever we don't know Jesus, he's here to transform our hearts. He's here to convict us so that we would come to know Jesus. But his job is not finished at that, but his job is to continue on so that he would continue to transform us in our Christian walks, in our Christian lives. And why do we need that? Because I think we're all fully aware that even when we get saved, there's still a lot of things we have to deal with. There's still a lot of issues that we have to go through. God says, "Come just as you are," and we come just as we are, and God transforms our heart, and the Holy Spirit transforms our heart, but then there's the rest of our lives. There's our mind. There's the way that we act. There's the things that we do. There's the things that we say, even this week. There's probably things that we regret saying. And the Holy Spirit is here not only to empower us for ministry, but to transform our Christian life and to make it radical. Because he never wants us to look the same again. You see, God said, "Whenever I've saved you, I've saved you for a purpose and I've saved you for a destiny. And whenever I went, I didn't want to leave you alone because I said I'd never leave you nor forsake you. And so in my place, I sent the Holy Spirit." And his number one job is to help you. Help you in every form and every way. And here's what he's not to help you with: fit in like everybody else. Be the same as you were before. His job is not to do that. But if we neglect him, that's what we'll automatically do. We'll start to talk the same as before. We'll start to act the same as before. We'll start to think the same as before. And whatever way we think will define our lives, whatever way we think will define our destiny, and it'll cause us to move here and cause us to move there. It'll cause us to make choices and decisions. And so God is here this morning. He's saying, "Do not forget God, the Holy Spirit." We know God the Father, we know God the Son, but what about God the Holy Spirit? He is here today to radically transform our living with Christ. And that's good news. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to think about him. Expectations are incredibly key. Expectations. I mean, kids at this moment have an incredible expectation for Christmas because presents are coming. That is the expectation. They are so excited for presents to come. And in the early church, God loaded up the early disciples with expectation. He said, "I'm going to go away, but there's one coming like me. Don't move from this spot until he comes." Jesus tells them to wait, but he doesn't tell them to just wait aimlessly. He says, "Wait, because there's a promise coming." He loads the disciples up with expectation. And in our life, we are made for expectation. And I think sometimes we come to church with a low expectation because of the way that we've been living and because of the lack of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so when something like, I don't know, like a favorite song comes on, we're like, that's as good as it's ever going to get. And God says this morning, what I want to happen is like Acts chapter 2, where the room starts to shake. If the room starts to shake today, what are we going to think? First reaction is, get out quick, it must be an earthquake. Would our first reaction be, could it be the Holy Spirit? Could it be that he just wants to shake us up? Could it be that he just wants to transform our lives? And expectation is key, because if that's a surprise to you, then it could mean that your expectation is so low that all you think about is that, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. And that's wonderful. And I'm so glad that one day I'm going to go to heaven. But what about the abundant life that Jesus promised here and now? And this is the bit that we're after. This is the bit that we're after, because when the world looks at us, they want to see something different. They want to see something different. They want to know, is it better to be with you guys? Is it better to trust God? Because from their vantage point, is it better to give up all the good stuff to get something else? And we're like, give up all the good stuff, because you're going to get something even better. You're going to get the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, we're either sitting here asleep, wondering, is this even sense? Or we're starting to shake ourselves, because we're saying, come on, the Holy Spirit is here, and he wants to do radical things in my life. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes and he kind of all takes you over and he kind of just starts to move in your life, you're going to say things that you would never say. Like, do you believe in Jesus? And you're going to start to say things. You're going to start to act in ways you never thought before. You're going to be like that early church where you say, hey, can I pray with you? Because I believe God wants to heal you. I mean, this is the confidence, the boldness, the character, the personality of the Holy Spirit. He's just like Jesus. Think about this. If we were walking with Jesus every day, how bold and confident would we be? We were like, you got to meet our friend. He can do anything. Did you know he can walk on water? Did you know that he can raise the dead? Did you know he can open blind eyes? And this morning, God wants us to know that we have, just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and he walks with us every day. And yet the sad reality is, for many of us, hopefully not in this room, but chances are there are, that we walk around with heavy heads and heavy hearts thinking, oh, I just can't wait to be with Jesus. I just can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be away from here. And yet the Holy Spirit is with us. And he says, I want to do incredible things through your life, but are you living with me, or have you forgotten about me, or am I just a tiny kind of spot in your heart where I transformed your heart one day? Or am I exploding in your life? Am I exploding through your life? And so this morning, what we're trying to do is build expectation. Because when we build expectation, then you just can't wait. When we get close to Christmas, our kids can't sleep. I can't go to sleep, Daddy. I don't want to go to sleep because I can't wait for presents. I can't wait till Santa comes. They don't really care about Santa. They just want the presents. They want to get the presents because that's the good stuff. And God's here this morning. He says, you want to know what my presence is? The Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. He wants to transform your life. Imagine you woke up every day thinking, I don't even care if it's Monday every day. Holy Spirit's with me. He's going to do incredible things through me. He's going to radically transform my life. He's going to radically transform my thinking. I mean, we could be here this morning thinking, whatever. That's a sure sign that you need the Holy Spirit. He wants to transform your thinking. He wants to transform your thinking, because living for God and living in the Holy Spirit is spectacular. He will transform you from the inside out in everything that you do. What is our expectations coming up? Our expectations coming up to Christmas might mean, if you're a parent, can't wait to lie in. Can't wait not to have to bring the kids to school. Can't wait just to get some time off. Can't wait not to be busy. That's our expectation. Now, if that's our only expectation in life as Christians, then that's not that good. Our expectations should be far greater, because we know what God has done for us, and I'm excited for what the Holy Spirit's going to do through me. So that's what we're trying to do this morning. Just raise the bar. Lift things up. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. What was he doing? He was planting expectation into their hearts. They were curious. They were like, we can't move from here, because what on earth is Jesus going to do next? We can't move from here, because what if the Holy Spirit is what he says? We can't move from here. And so for 10 days in that upper room, 120 odd people, they just kept worshiping. They just kept praying. They just kept full of expectation, because he said, it's to our advantage that he goes? How could that ever be? And then the Holy Spirit comes like a rushing wind. Says that he comes, Acts 2. It should be something that we read maybe on a regular basis. Don't let it become too familiar, but it should be something that we read on a regular basis, because it will transform our lives and help to realign us back to being powerful, radical Christians with Christ, because we know the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, it says in Acts chapter 2, came like tongues of fire on the disciples' heads, and they were never the same again. Not only did he transform them, but he gave them this brand new language, this brand new spiritual language that they could communicate with the Father. And in weeks to come, we're going to look at that and we're going to talk about that. So don't worry, we're going to get there. But there's so much ground we're trying to cover. But when the Holy Spirit came, nothing was ever the same again. And here's the thought that I had as I was thinking about Acts chapter 2 and doing some research this week. I thought to myself, imagine if you were a new Christian who had never been to church, or a believer that had never heard of the Holy Spirit and had never been to church, but suddenly read Acts chapter 2, what would your expectation be when you would come to church? And would your expectation be met when you come to church? I wonder. And this morning, that is the question I'd love to put into our hearts. What is our expectation when we come to church? Is it that I'll get to sit beside my friend, that we'll get to sing my favorite song because that'll put me in a good mood? Will it be that the message will be really short because I'll be able to get away? I don't know. I remember friends of mine saying they helped. No, maybe I shouldn't say it. I'm not going to say that one. So, but it was something to do with a really short message, and that was the guy that they picked. So what is our expectation when we come to church? What is our expectation? Because I think in those early days, the disciples could not wait to get to church because they were like, what's he going to do next? What is he going to do next? What is God, the Holy Spirit, what going to do next? And for us this morning, what is our expectation as we come to church? What is the Holy Spirit going to do next? Or how can I get through this? How can I get through this? Can I look at my phone without anybody seeing me? Can I keep on social media without being detached? Or am I plugged out so that the Holy Spirit can just take me over and do incredible things? Maybe he wants to speak a dream into your heart this morning. Maybe he wants to heal you. Maybe he wants to heal you. Nikki and I were just chatting the other week and we're saying, hey, we love praying with people. We love laying hands on. The Bible tells us lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But I felt in my spirit that God was saying that he was going to build a culture of healing so that when we came into this environment, when we came into this culture, people were going to be healed, not even needing to be touched by another person in terms of laying hands. Now that can happen, but the Holy Spirit would just be moving so freely that the Holy Spirit would just be moving through our hearts, moving through our lives. What about a culture of healing? What about a dissatisfaction because we're not seeing enough people healed? You know what my number one dissatisfaction is? That we're not seeing enough people saved. I want to see more people saved, but the Lord just keeps saying, just keep waiting. I'm creating good ground. I'm planting good seeds, and it's going to grow, but it's growing slow. But don't worry, it's going to bear much fruit. Just keep faithful, keep strong. But what are expectations as we come to church or as we come to God? They've got to be full of the Holy Spirit. They've got to be full of it. And this morning we said already, it is time to raise the bar. And how do we raise the bar? By becoming dissatisfied with the life that we've got at the moment. We're not unthankful. We're not ungrateful. But I'm dissatisfied because, Lord, I want to see more. Because, Holy Spirit, I've seen what you've done before. I've read the book of Acts over and over again. I've seen the stories. I've heard them. I've believed them. I've seen what you're doing here. I've seen what you're doing there. But, Lord, we want to see them today. And the Holy Spirit loves hungry hearts. He loves believers. He loves people that are hungry, that says, I'm excited for more. I'm dissatisfied with the status quo. There's got to be more than this. Do you remember the song, There's Got to Be More Than This? We sang it over and over and over and over and over and over again. But it was a great song. And the heart of it was, there's got to be more than this. And there is more than this. And then when you get this, there's even more than that. Because the Holy Spirit is endless. He is just beyond measure. And so this morning, what are our expectations? It's time to raise the bar. Maybe we've been living so low, thinking so little, that even if we just felt a tingle, we'd be satisfied with that. I'm not satisfied with a tingle. I want to see a flood of the Holy Spirit moving. I want to see people healed in every form. I want to see people's lives transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he is here this morning, and he's here to be our friend. It's time to raise the bar. It's time to raise the bar so that we're not satisfied with lack. We're not satisfied with being so satisfied with so little. And that we've got to a place where we're done with fear. I'm no longer being consumed with fear. I know one of the main reasons that so many people hold back from the power of the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit is because of fear. I remember a short testimony from my life in my late teens, early 20s. I really, really wanted the Holy Spirit, but I thought to myself, what's he going to do with me? You know, I'm like, I'm not that brave. I'm not that confident. What would he do with me? And I started thinking this worry thought for about 6 months, and then eventually I thought to myself, what? He's incredible. He's known as the dove. He's so sensitive. He knows exactly how to handle me. He made me. He knows how to work me. I'm being so silly. Give my hands into the Maker and watch what the Maker will do with what he's already made. He'll bring us into full strength. He'll be like that engine that wasn't turned up to full power and he just crank us right up and he go, that's the way you're supposed to run. That was the way you're supposed to operate. I remember having that fear. And maybe there's a fear this morning because of maybe believing what you believed before. Maybe there's a fear because of what your friends may think of you. Maybe there's a fear because of some kind of theology or doctrine that you read before. Maybe there's a fear because of the background you've grown up. The Holy Spirit is the most sensitive person on the planet. He is incredible. The Bible describes him as a dove. There's nothing more sensitive than a dove, and he's described as that. And yet inside of that sensitivity, he's so powerful because he's described as a rushing wind, as mighty fire. He is described in every form and in every way. He is an incredible, incredible person. But maybe fear has held you back. Fear of appearance, fear of what other people looking like, saying you look like, fear of being, will I still be cool? And God says this morning, I want you to be my ambassador. And the only thing that you're concerned with is living for Christ. And to live for Christ, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. I need to be filled with the Spirit, led with the Spirit, and live in the Spirit. This is what God's calling. And we're going to read some verses this morning. In 2 Corinthians 13, they're going to be on the screen, but also you can look them up. 2 Corinthians 13, and we're going to look at how God intended and what Paul gave to the Corinthians right at the end of his letters to say how to live and what way to go. And so let's read it this morning. It says, finally, brethren, so he's speaking to Christians, saying brethren, meaning believers. Finally, it's his final statements. He says, farewell, become complete. He says to them, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. That all sounds very simple, and yet we know it to be very hard. And the God of love and peace be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Wow, we're not doing enough kissing right here. Maybe we need to change that. So greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. I don't know if we've got that many saints. Only joking. We're saints in God if we know him. And then here's the key thing, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Or another version says it like this. Flick on to another one, Killian. I think we've got verse 14, another translation. The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate fellowship, friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And here's the question for me this morning to you is that, of course, Jesus is full of grace. I need his grace every day. The Father, full of extravagant love, I need that every day. But look at this, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Is that what we have today in our walks with God? An intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. Now, our grace is covered through Jesus. By grace through faith, we're saved. Our extravagant love from the Father because he accepts us no matter what. But what about this intimate relationship, this intimate friendship, this intimate communion with the Holy Spirit? Is that a part that needs to happen next? And for many of the believers in the early part of Acts, it was. They would say, hey, have you received the Holy Spirit yet? And they say, we got saved. And they were like, no. Have you received the Holy Spirit in terms of being filled? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are you in constant communication and intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit? Because that's the way to live. That's the way to live for God. And so God's here this morning, and this is his heart for us, and this is what we're going to look at. Here's God's incredible plan after Christ, to live in perfect harmony, in perfect relationship with the Holy Spirit, that it would transform us forever. Intimate relationship. Intimate relationship. Now, we're going to look at that in just a moment, but think about that for just a moment. Think of the closest relationship you have. Think about how you are with that person and how the Holy Spirit is after exactly the same, if not more. Is that the way we are with God? Because that's what he intended. That's the way God intended for us and with us. Because when he says things like, you can do all things through Christ who strengthened you, how does that add up in your world when you're just feeling down and out and you're feeling broken? You need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our communion with God. The Holy Spirit is our intimate friendship with God. He is the one who makes the difference. How is our life with the Holy Spirit at this moment? Maybe it needs to grow. Maybe it's growing, but it's going to get better. Maybe it's non-existent other than conviction of sin. And God says this morning, I want to develop that. I want to grow that. I want to remove any fear. I want to remove any worry. He should be our best friend. And we should do all things with him. And so the question, two questions before we move on is this. Imagine doing everything with the Holy Spirit, or imagine the alternative. Imagine trying to do everything without the Holy Spirit. It'd just be so dead. It would just be so empty. It would just be so stressful. And maybe that's where you're at in terms of your relationship with God at the moment. But God wants to transform that. And then imagine trying to live for God any other way. We've got the grace of Jesus. We've got the love of God. And we've got communion with the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing that really grabs my heart. Paul could have written anything in this letter, but he chose to write communion. Why didn't he write the power of the Holy Spirit? Because that's what we think about the Holy Spirit sometimes. Now, I love to think about the power of the Holy Spirit, but if I think about it too much, I think of him as an it rather than a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. So he's not just power. And so why did he not just say, well, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, because blessings sound like good things. Or why didn't he say the fire of the Holy Spirit? All of those sound like good things. But instead he said communion, because he knows man's greatest need is a relationship with God. That is the thing that each and every one of us are inbuilt with, because God made it. The Holy Spirit made us. The Holy Spirit knows us through and through, and he built into us this need for a relationship with God like no other. And so what tends to happen in our world is, because we crave relationship, we try to find it in other things. We try to find it in other people. We try to find it in the gym. We try to find it in cars. We try to find it here. We try to find it there. And God says this morning, you will only be truly satisfied by finding it in me. And how does that relationship work? Through the Holy Spirit, living in communion with him. And so the reason why Paul wrote communion is because the Holy Spirit inspired him, and he knew man's greatest need was relationship with God. And how is our relationship with God this morning? How is it? The Holy Spirit wants to bring that tight. He wants to make that close. He wants to make that in perfect harmony. Don't try to substitute it with anything else. That's the tendency. That's what we want to do. God says, don't do it. So the Holy Spirit is our friend. And here's the incredible thing: if the Holy Spirit brings communion, he's the perfect answer. He's the perfect solution for loneliness. See, loneliness is one of the biggest killers on our planet. It's the main reason for suicide. It's the main reason for so many people going here, there, and everywhere, because they're lonely, because they want relationship. And even the relationships that they have, they want meaningful relationships. The Holy Spirit brings a deep relationship to our God relationship. He brings depth to it. He brings maturity to it. He brings guidance to it. He brings vision to it. He brings power to it. He transforms us this morning in our walks with God. And if we're going to walk with God and beat that loneliness, it will come through the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is here, and he beats loneliness. I've talked to so many Christians who say, I just feel lonely. I just feel lonely in my faith. And so maybe the answer is, maybe I need to get a person in my life. Maybe I need to get a dog. Maybe I need to get a dog to beat loneliness. Now go do that. God's not against dogs. He loves dogs. It's great. Go get a dog. But what about the Holy Spirit? What about the Holy Spirit in your life? Because he comes as a perfect companion, and he comes for perfect communion with you to transform your life. And not just to get you on an even keel so you don't feel lonely and you don't feel sad, but to get you powerful, to get you radical, to get you full of dynamite, that you're going to change the world because of the power that lives inside of you. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And that's what God wants to put in your heart and flow from your life. Radical, radical power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to try to do it in 10 minutes. We'll go as slow as we can. We're going to break communion into three parts: fellowship, partnership, and intimacy. Fellowship, partnership, and intimacy. I want us to read this. Acts chapter 20, verse 22, talking about fellowship. Now look at this. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. They changed course because of the Holy Spirit's voice, not knowing what will happen to me there, but we're trusting the Holy Spirit because we're in fellowship together. Verse 23, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison hardships are facing me. Imagine having a relationship with the Holy Spirit where he's just directing your path. I mean, what's the other big thing that everybody wants to know? What am I supposed to do? What's the will of God? What about just fall in love with the Holy Spirit? What about just living your life with the Holy Spirit and just saying, wherever you tell me to go, that will be the perfect will of God? Because the Holy Spirit is the perfect will of God. He is God. It says, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Imagine, Paul's not dismayed. He's not put off that he's going to face hardships. He's not put off because he knows it in advance. The Holy Spirit has warned him. The Holy Spirit has comforted him. The Holy Spirit has prepared him. The Holy Spirit is guiding him. He's nudging him. He's saying, don't go there, go here instead. The Holy Spirit is directing his path. We need his direction in our lives. Otherwise, what do? We try to get it from other people. We try to get that fellowship from other people. What do you think? What do you think I should do next? What do you think I should do next? Now, God has placed the body around us, and that is important, and I'm not coming against that. But I'm saying, what about the Holy Spirit? What about going to him for our direction and for our nudging and for our guidance? Compelled by the Holy Spirit. Compelled by the Holy Spirit. That is an incredible fellowship. That is an incredible friendship. This is what God wants to do for us. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. And go to the next one. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. Imagine that. Imagine you're at home and the Holy Spirit just says, hey, there's going to be three guys coming to the door in just a minute. You better get the house ready. And we just go like, quick, get the house ready, quick. They might come in. The Holy Spirit just warned him. He says, there's three men looking for you. No, this warning was a different type of one. It wasn't a warning of like they're coming to your house for tea type of thing like Zacchaeus. This is a different one because Peter did not want to go to these men because these men were Gentiles. And he thought that God was only for the Jews. And so God was correcting his thinking through a vision. And God wants to correct your thinking through visions from the Holy Spirit. He wants to correct your vision. He wants to correct your thinking through communication and through communion and friendship with the Holy Spirit. Imagine that. Imagine just as we read the word, the Holy Spirit's just bringing it out to us and he's just correcting us and shaping us. Imagine as we're sleeping, he's just correcting us and shaping us. I'll tell you the truth. Over this last wee while, I have felt God's voice more and more through my sleep, more and more through my dreams. And just more and more through vision. I've just felt his correction. I've just felt this. I've just felt that. And I've tested it out and said, wait, is that just my mind? Or is that really God just talking to me? And I've learned more and more that it's him just teaching me and talking to me in different ways. Now, you might think I'm weird, but I'm just loving the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit might be weird to everybody else, but that's the world. To God, it's perfectly normal. It's the way he operates. He operates his children to his children through dreams, through signs and wonders, through visions, through every form. And so the Holy Spirit, he spoke to Peter, and it transformed how he thought. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 says this, the Spirit told Philip, what? The Spirit told Peter, told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Just direction after direction after direction. We need the Holy Spirit this morning for our fellowship. The Holy Spirit was just guiding these guys. Now the second point was partnership. Acts chapter 15, 28. I just love this verse. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. They're just walking hand in hand. I mean, what does it look like? It looks like they're walking with Jesus. It looks like it's like the 12 disciples all over again. And Jesus is there in the midst. And it's Peter, James, and John is saying, who does he love the most? And Jesus is there, what are we talking about? They're just talking back and forth. And this morning, this is the picture that God is trying to paint into our hearts, that we would walk with the Holy Spirit every day. That would just say, hey, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, and it seemed good to us. That's just the way that we work. That's just the way that we operate. Now, I know that we are more aware of them when we go on missions trips, but what about day-to-day trips? What about Rushmere trips? I don't know. What about going to Buttercream? What about the Keys, wherever you're going, and you're shopping, and just seemed good to us, and it seemed, maybe that'd be a good one to get out of things. Well, I love that pair of shoes. It seemed good to me, and it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. It didn't seem good to my bank account, but, you know. So the Holy Spirit, he wants to make us wise. He wants to inform us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to have a partnership. I remember when I started my business back years ago, I didn't plan to start it. I wanted to start it, but then I got made redundant because of the recession in 2008. I thought, what am I going to do next? And then I felt the Holy Spirit saying, well, you got to get with me. Me and you's going to do this thing. And so I remember filling out the form to go self-employed, and it said sole trader or partnership. I was tempted to take partnership, but I knew it was just me. But I knew that was what God was calling me to. And I remember day after day, I didn't go to business strategy meetings. I didn't go networking. I got into the prayer closet with the Holy Spirit, and I just started walking around my house, just saying, God, you're going to have to help me. I've got no money. You're going to have to give me a job. I remember in those early days, he would just keep giving me, every time I'd pray, he'd give me phone calls. Every time. It was just unbelievable. It was just like a joke. I'm like, Holy Spirit, I need to talk to you again. He's like, I already know. You need more work. You need more work. So we pray, and we did this business together. And that's what God's saying this morning. He wants you to do life with him together. No longer are you lonely. No longer are you wondering, can I fill this gap with somebody else? You're walking with the Holy Spirit. You're communing with the Holy Spirit. You know the voice of the Holy Spirit. He just told us. It seemed good to him, and it seemed good to us. We just walk with him. How is our relationship with the Holy Spirit? Is that the way that we're walking with God this morning? Is that the way? If it's not, then allow the Holy Spirit to convict you, and then allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. Because that's what he wants to do with your heart and with your life. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Look at this. Keep watch over yourselves and the flock with which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. See, the Holy Spirit is here to appoint us. The Holy Spirit is here to equip us. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us. The Holy Spirit is to put us in charge. We're in a partnership with him where he takes the lead, but he puts us in charge of things. He gives us promotion. I mean, so many times we're trying to get here, we're trying to get there, and God said, allow me to work through your life. Allow the Holy Spirit through your partnership to bring that promotion in the right time. Allow the Holy Spirit through your life to bring you to the positions that you need to be in at the right time, in the right season for you. Don't get out of step with him because he's able to watch over, he's able to oversee, and he's able to put you in charge of things. They have a close, mutual relationship, and this is what God is looking for us to have with God the Holy Spirit. I remember reading about a pastor years ago, And it said that he would spend 2 to 4 hours a day in his diary. It would be block booked because he said if he didn't block book the diary, then somebody else would take it from him. And so he'd book 2 to 4 hours with God, the Holy Spirit, every single day so he could just tune up. He could get refilled over and over and over again so he could get to know God's heart. And as a result, his church just grew in the tens of thousands. And again, it's not about the numbers inside of church, but it's absolutely about salvation. And it's absolutely about seeing people saved because God's deepest desire is that all should be saved. And what's the problem? It's the workers in the vineyard. The Bible makes it really clear. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is ready. But what about the workers in the vineyard? When we're full of the Holy Spirit, our ideas change, our passions change, our ambitions change, our fears change, our motivation changes, and suddenly we become workers when we wanted to just be pleasure seekers. And in that working, we get full of all the good things that God gives us because everything changes. And so maybe you're here this morning thinking, that's not for me. You need the Holy Spirit. He's going to transform you. He's going to change you. Maybe this is too much for me. You need the Holy Spirit to come and comfort you, to build you up, to equip you. The Holy Spirit wants to radically transform your life. He doesn't want you to do life anymore without him. And then the final one, we're doing well, intimacy. He wants to have a deep level of intimacy with you. God wants to have a deep level of intimacy with you. Why? Because he's a jealous God. This is what it says in James chapter 4, verse 5. It says, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. If we are hungry for God, then the Holy Spirit's going to increase that hunger. If we are not hungry for God, then the Holy Spirit's going to produce that hunger. Because when the Spirit is inside of you, when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we yearn jealously. And when you look up that word dwell, you know what it means? It means to abide. It means to live with. It means to be together with. It means to be in that close, intimate relationship. It's not just, oh, I've got this friend called the Holy Spirit. We chat once a year. That's not living with, that's not dwelling with, that is not inside of you. That's just somebody you go and visit once a year. And the truth is, why do you not visit them more? I don't know, just too busy. Maybe you don't like them. God, we need the Holy Spirit this morning. He's got to dwell in our hearts. He's got to flood our spirits. He's got to flood us and overflow us because when he does, we'll yearn jealously for the things of God. Why are you not hungry? Maybe you need the Holy Spirit. How will you fill your hunger? You will fill your hunger through the dwelling, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so for us to God, what's the thing that God wants the most? If our greatest need is him, what's the thing that he wants the most? He wants an intimate relationship with us. Why? Now think about this. Why does he want an intimate relationship with us? Because the people that you're most intimate with are the person that you're most intimate with, you can have the most influence on. It's the person you're becoming most like. Whenever I spend time with Jesus and he becomes my best friend and I'm intimate with him, what's happening? I'm just becoming like him automatically because he's my intimate relationship. It's like when a guy and a girl get together and they get married. After 10 years, you can't even tell the difference. You just can't even tell the difference. You're just hoping to see something that'll give you a clue, maybe long hair and short hair or something like that. But they just become like each other. Their interests become the same. They've fought enough that they've probably decided this is what we like now. You know, they just become one. That's the reality of it. Two become one when we get married. And God's here this morning. He says, I want your relationship with me to be founded in the Holy Spirit. I want your relationship with me to dwell in the Holy Spirit. Because when he dwells in you, there's intimacy. And where there's intimacy, there's that closeness. There's that togetherness. You get to know his heart. You get to know his secrets. You get to know his voice. He transforms your thinking. And so God is here this morning. He says, I want to have a partnership with you. I want to have a friendship with you. But I also want to have an intimacy with you. And so, come on, let's stand together. We have done well. Let's stand together and let's pray. All these next few weeks, all we're doing is building up an expectation for more of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to cover him in one moment. But what we're doing is we're just building it up, building it up, building it up. But how do we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Again, we said like we did last week. It's being hungry for him. And as we're hungry for him, he fills us and he overflows us. Is it a once-only thing? Salvation is a once-only thing. But the Holy Spirit wants to come again and again and again. He wants to continuously fill you up because as you pour out, you're in need of more. As you pour out, you're in need of more. And so again, what we're going to do is as we pray, we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit just to come and have his way in our hearts. Just continuously fill us, just flood us. Maybe you're unaware of who he is, and God just wants to just remind you again. He just wants to speak to you. So come on, let's close our eyes and open up our hearts. Our question this morning as we finish is that, do we know the Holy Spirit like this? Is this the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit? And if not, why not? And whatever that why is, Lord, will you go for that why, Lord? Will you encourage that why? Would you break that why? Would you rebuke that why? Whatever it would be, if it gets in the way of you, Lord. Lord, maybe it's been fear, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's theology, maybe it's all of these different things. But the Lord says if you would let the defenses come down, he would prove himself to you. Because this is what God always intended, that man would walk with God every single day. See, in the beginning, man walked with God. Said that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. They did things together. They had fun together. They laughed together. They talked together. They had deep communion, deep intimacy together. And then sin messed it up, but then Jesus came. He said, I've come to be a better Adam. I've come to bring things back. And of course, then when Jesus had won our freedom, when he had won our salvation, he says, it's to your advantage that I go. But don't worry, there's one coming just like me. And what is his main goal? So that man could walk with God again. So that man could live with God. Be indwelling with God. Walk with God every step, every day. Not sure what to do next? Holy Spirit, would you help me? My heart is breaking. Holy Spirit, would you heal me? Lord, I'm not sure where the next bill is, how the next bill is going to be paid. I'm not sure where the next money's coming from. Holy Spirit, will you help me? Holy Spirit, will you guide me? Oh, Lord, I'm really struggling to read your word. Holy Spirit, would you fill me so that the words jump off the page? Oh, Lord, I'm really struggling to pray. Holy Spirit, will you flood my heart? Will you give me the words to say? Oh, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray. Lord, take over. And the Holy Spirit takes over. The Bible tells us that he takes over and he just talks in a way that we could never talk. Oh, Lord, I've got no confidence. I've got no boldness to share your faith. Oh, Holy Spirit, will you come and fill me? Every single question is answered by him. Every single question. And so, Lord, this morning as we worship, in our final few minutes, Lord, will you move in our hearts? Holy Spirit, will you continue to speak to our minds? Every single thing that we get in the way, from our intelligence to everything else, move it out of the way in Jesus' name. And allow you to touch our hearts, because when you touch our hearts, everything's going to flow. And Lord, we will not continue anymore. We will not continue anymore in a small spot. We say, Lord, have every spot, have every place, have your way in my heart and in my life. And in Jesus' name, will you come, Lord? Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord.